Welcome back. Thank you so much for tuning in to Ask Fred Johnson here on FM News 100, 1110 KBND. Our phones, we're sort of limping along with our phone, but please feel free to call in, 541-388-1110. Love to have you call. And we're good to go. I'm getting the big thumbs up from Sam over here. We got a call? Uh-huh. Well, let's see what we got. Let's see if I can fix this. Apparently we got technical difficulties, but try again. That's all good. We'd be happy to have you call in, be part of the show. Please do. So the home energy scores, you know, there's been some interesting, some emails and some different things that have been going into, not emails, but letters to the editor. And, you know, I think that the most important thing with this at the end of the day, you know, I think that, you know, maybe this is, you know, according to me, but it seems that the bureaucrats and the bureaucracy are sort of, you know, taking a free run right now. You know, they're kind of, they don't really feel that. You know, I don't know what happened with public employee where they lost sight of the fact that they work for the public and that they don't tell the public how they should live, but maybe it should be the other way around. But there's a lot of things that are coming down the path. And I think that the most disturbing thing about the home energy score is not so much the intent. I mean, it's great. If that's something that you choose to have a home energy score on your property, that's fine. But to tell you that it's mandatory, to tell you that you have to, and if you don't play our game, we're going to fine you, that's where it seems that it gets off the track a little bit, off the rail. Sure, you want to try that? Yeah. Hi there, you're on the air. Who's this?
Tyler and Tom Little.
Tyler, how the heck are you today?
Good. I just tried an experiment, and I called you guys on the landline, and it didn't work, and I'm going to sell.
Well, however it works, brother, we appreciate to hear your voice out there. You got a little bit of smoke?
Right.
Okay.
It was smoky and it was plenty warm yesterday. Anyway, I wanted to continue our conversation, which we didn't quite get through with your technical problems.
Yes, sir.
You've been to my property. You know where I'm at.
Yes, sir.
And I've been appraised at about 670.
Yep.
5 acres and a single level. Now, is that kind of in the ballpark or lowballing or what are we looking at?
No, I think that you're right in the market right there. You know, you've got a fair amount of what we call in the business a little bit of deferred maintenance going on. But with that concession, I think that you're right in there. What you have is pretty unique, Tyler. You know, someone that has a small acreage in close west side, that's a good property.
Right. Well, you know that we're on the west side of Tumalo Creek.
Yes, sir, I do.
So we're outside the UGB.
Well, that's not a bad thing.
Right. Anyway, okay, well, I was conducting the test with your phones and whatnot, and I'm glad for your advice, and I'll talk to you soon.
Right on, Tyler. Thanks so much for your support, your continued support, and we'd love to have you out there. Thank you.
We'll talk to you soon.
Okay, bye now. So, pardon me. So, yes, at the end of the day, I guess that's what it all comes down to. You know, we can talk about, you know, I mean, basically what we had was, it was voted in 2019, and I think a lot of these, you know, I think everybody's been watching the news. I thought it was pretty interesting this last week where, you know, the governor of California says, all right, fine, we're not going to produce any more automobiles, any more gas-burning automobiles. Everything's going to go electric. And then the next week he's going, gosh, we're having a heat wave and we can't even support, so don't charge cars. I don't think that we're quite ready for that. I think that a lot of these things, again, are very, very well-intentioned. It seems that, you know, the moniker right now of the progressive movement is unintended consequences. You know, the jump before they think, and you know, I know that that's a little bit political, but part of City of Bend kind of got off the rails, I think, in this community climate action plan and set that as a priority, when in fact we have, you know, health services and, you know, maintaining our roadways and doing a number of other things that are really under the guidelines or the bylaws of what the function of the city council may be. But to provide a 100% renewable energy supply for the community. I mean, these are great goals. But again, here we are. We're looking at the mandatory energy report. And if you want to purchase property and you're concerned with its energy assessment and what you could do to make it more energy efficient while you're living there, that's certainly your right. And you should be able to do that. But it shouldn't be told to you that it's going to be added to the expense of a sale of a property, which means to the buyer it's going to increase the price of the property, for something that may or may not have any value to the parties that are interested in it. And if you don't participate, you're going to be fined. And if you don't do it within a timely fashion, you're going to be fined again. So let your city council members know. Send them an email. Tell them that you're opposed to the mandatory energy audit. Or maybe you're one of those that's highly in favor of it. But it's coming up, and the time for public sentiment is right here and now. So make that happen. Another one that we've talked about a couple of times, I'm just going to bounce through these two, is the location for the library. And that has come up, and there were a couple of different interesting ones. One, I want to thank our listeners out there. I don't know if I maybe shouldn't call by name, but I'll just maybe go with the first names and say that, you know, Gene and Linda sent me a newspaper clipping, which was from a January 8th editorial that appeared in the Ben Bulletin under My Nicholsworth, and it was written by a Gentry Wade. And basically, it came up with an interesting plan, and those of you that listen may recall this discussion. We had it on air. But basically, what Mr. Wade said here was that, you know, both of the locations that have been chosen by the Bend Library are pretty ill-fated, particularly this one over in the southeast area. And to try to say that it's going to be one for all of Central Oregon and a community center, a performing arts center, his recommendation was to demolish the old library, the old building. Happen to know it's right downtown. They've got issues with, you know, the roof and a number of different things, and it's obsolete. But to diminish that and take the road out that's between the existing library and that block of land and do the building down there, then we really don't need the huge auditorium that goes along with it. So the two present library buildings could expand the library building. And most important, I think this is a very valid, is that it would be then right square in the middle of all of our transportation network that we're trying to do. And maybe to allocate some of those funds so that, you know, just off of 3rd Street needs to be enlarged and centralized, which is where our current bus station is. And the $10 million slated for the land, maybe we could be a little bit more cost effective with that. And then another article just came out this last week. Gosh, what date was that? I'm sorry. It was on the 20th, July 20th. And another party, let me see if I've got his name here or hers. Brinich, Ken. Ken said that, you know, why is this architect trying to decide or trying to build a 100,000 square foot structure, including a performing arts center? That's not the job of the library. Maybe we should consider using COCC, Oregon State Cascades, the Tower Theater, local high school auditoriums for library-sponsored events. The facility would still be larger than the downtown branch, almost three times. Downtown's 38,000 feet. 100,000 feet is absolutely huge. So his recommendation is to tell the board to scale back on their grandiose ideas. If the board continues to really not listen to the people, maybe the people might quit supporting the library board. I think that's pretty interesting. It's one of those interesting deals where suddenly it's not in compliance with anybody. There's no way to give your opinion or a feeling of accountability on what's happening. But the library is something that's very, very important to our community. It supports all members of our community, young and old alike. And it should be easily accessible and not just necessarily a handful of people's grandiose dream to find a way to now spend $195 million worth of bond money because they sort of had a bad plan and it didn't come out the way that it was. Maybe to pull back on that and be more effective with those funds might be better to all people that the library serves and the community serves. I'm certainly not trying to damn the library. I just think that, you know, one mistake and continuing to make more mistakes doesn't make the problem any better. And to back up and to maybe restructure and scale the project might be a little bit more beneficial to everybody that's involved in it. After all, we all have an equity interest in what's happening. So I want to thank you so much for tuning in here to Ask Fred Johnson on FM News 100, 1110, KBND.